Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How you hanging in, Joe?
You know, hoping we get baseball back. Obviously, it's a complicated thing, both from a financial and health standpoint. But personally, you know, I miss the game, but, you know, my kid's healthy, I'm healthy, so I'm getting through it.
I'm hoping baseball comes back, too. But I also know that whatever this first proposal was from the commissioner's office and from the owners is really a screw you. And if they're trying to do this to the players in this way, it gives me a sour feeling as much as I want baseball to return. On these terms, maybe it shouldn't.
You know, we had the big fight maybe 2 weeks ago when this all started about there was this clause in the original deal about negotiating in good faith, and, you know, was there actually an agreement, or was there an agreement to come back to the table? And I keep thinking about the words good faith as I kind of work through this deal, which is not in good faith. Whether it's a long-term play to split the union, which it's a very effective method of doing that, or if it's just greed. I mean, I heard you bring me in with Ricketts' quote, and that's great and all, but, I mean, we literally have 150 years of baseball owners not telling the truth about finances. I mean, I'm sorry. They just haven't done it. 35 years ago, MLB opened its books for the only time, and a Stanford economist named Roger Knoll basically laughed them out of the room. So they haven't done it since then. What we have are claims of losses. You mentioned BAMTech bringing me in. Over a period of 2 years, Disney bought 75% of MLB's streaming service for $2.5 billion, roughly $80 million a team. That money never made its way into the baseball ecosystem. Over the last 5 years or so, MLB has become really surgically good at cutting the players out of the revenue gains within the game. So if a business is very profitable over a period of years, and they're not sharing that with their employees in a proportional manner, you say, okay, well, they've got money in the bank and they can get through a downturn. No, MLB is saying, oh, no, now we want to, we've privatized the profits, but now we want to share the losses. It's on a grand level, on a big scale level, it's an immoral proposal. Baseball has never been run this way. But if you start to look at the micro details, it really becomes funny. Under this plan, Mike Trout is rich. He made a lot of money playing baseball. He's going to make more. Under this plan, Artie Moreno is wealthy. Under this plan, Mike Trout is giving about $13 million to Artie Moreno, just because. Jacob deGrom is giving about $3 million to the Wilpons, just because. Freddie Freeman is giving $3 million to Liberty Freaking Media, which is worth $10 billion. It is an unbelievably cynical plan designed to look fair. Oh, we're sharing the burden, when you haven't actually shared the benefits.
It has the secondary effect of attempting to divide the union by making the richest players look the greediest in rejection to this. I mean, it's evil genius in a lot of ways. But it hasn't really had that effect. It does appear that from the earliest reporting of this, that the response from all players has been fairly solid across the board, understanding exactly what you're saying. That it's not about Mike Trout helping out the 25th guy on the roster. It's about Mike Trout helping out Artie Moreno, even if they're trying to make it look as if this is some way of them charitably helping somebody else in baseball. I'm actually, but believe it or not, intrigued and heartened by the response of the players. And I did see one agent that Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich quoted, an unnamed agent, who said part of the reason is the timing of this has the rank and file more engaged and better engaged than they ever have been because of when this is happening.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised to see that. And it's early days. We're about 18 hours into the story right now. But the initial reaction does surprise me, because if you do look at this deal, it leaves, because everybody, you go online and it's, oh, millionaires versus billionaires. There's not as many millionaires as you think. This deal would leave, especially if you look at a major league season that's going to have 30-man rosters, this deal is going to leave 60 to 65% of the players roughly where they would be. And it's going to leave another 10, 15%, you know, taking a haircut, but not a massive one. It's definitely targeted at the top 100 paid players in the game. So I looked at it initially. It's like, this is designed to divide the union. So if it unifies the union, it's got long-term concerns. It's not just about this particular fight. It's about bringing a union that hasn't been very strong for 15 years now together in advance of the 2021 CBA negotiations. So you're right, Dan. My initial read might end up being completely wrong, and in which case, you know, the owners have kind of screwed themselves in 2020 and beyond.
I also noticed that Eugene Friedman, the labor lawyer, mm-hmm. who's a brilliant Twitter follow, he noted that if the players counter this offer, that is considered a reopening. That is legally considered a reopening of the memorandum of understanding, and it moves them off of their previous position that they had agreed to a 50% pay cut prorated, and that was it. That once they counter, they're in a different negotiation and they've surrendered that position legally, which I didn't know until I read that point. It does sound like they may have no choice.
Well, that's interesting, not just for the player-owner discussion, but remember, that original memorandum also included the compensation details for the players were tied to the bonus structure for the draft. The MLB is going to have a five-round draft. They've got that rule that caps undrafted free agents at $20,000. Also, they get to defer the bonuses over a period of 2 years into 2022. They don't have to pay draft bonuses. Does that part also get reopened? Because what it seems to me MLB did is say, we like these parts of the deal. We're going to keep these and save all this money. But this other part of the deal, we now want to reopen. And from what you're saying, this could be a whole can of worms where they actually lose the draft agreement as well.
And now we have the minor league piece that is creeping into this. And you wrote about this years ago, about really the grand lie of the minors, and that is that all these guys are prospects and there's just some sort of way for all of them to be their best selves, when in fact it is an artificialized system that is designed to have mostly fodder support a handful of prospects. And even going into this, baseball was saying, what are we doing here? Why are we in the business of subsidizing all of these teams when we don't need it? And this may be accelerating the process of essentially reshaping and or destroying affiliated minor league baseball, which it hurts my heart to say because of how important the minor leagues have been to me and some of the greatest years of my life working on the back roads of pro baseball and really wonderful memories and meeting so many great people. But when we emerge from this, what's the brave new world of minor league professional baseball?
Well, I've been on the unpopular side of this discussion. MLB's plan to reduce the affiliated minors made sense to me because of how we develop players in the 21st century. This system has essentially existed since kind of the minors all fell into kind of a rush to be affiliated back in the late 1950s and early 1960s. So this system is quite dated. I believe my hope was that, okay, there's a lot of public pressure to pay minor leaguers better. My hope was that MLB, in reducing the number of players under its wing, reducing the number of minor leagues, would then also pay minor leagues. And I don't think minor leagues, as I've said, the vast majority of minor leaguers have no economic value. You could literally replace all of them with a different set, and people are going to the games anyway because they're not going to see the second baseman nobody's ever heard of. They're going because it's a fun night out. And minor league baseball is a fun night out. But the idea that the players themselves are the attraction, you know, very small. There are, you know, a handful of prospects in any given year that might drive people to the ballpark. But pay them better. You know, certainly get out of the business of getting Congress to say you don't have to pay the minimum wage. My God, I mean, MLB's acted horribly on this issue. But yeah, I believe that a smaller minor league system benefits a lot of people. I would like to see independent ball pop up. Independent ball was once a big part of this nation's, you know, baseball watching. You know, there were independent leagues all over the place. So let's see if that we can bring that back. But because so many minor league teams are going to be in trouble missing this season, that's going to accelerate the process. It's going to make it easier for baseball to implement this plan of cutting teams, because a lot of teams, if they're not going to go under, they're going to be close enough to be pushed.
I was also thinking of another format in which the larger agencies, the agents themselves, create an old version of barnstorming where they make the investment in some of the raw materials here, and they invest in players as growth stocks and then can have them play in various places, call the teams whatever you want, market the hell out of them, come up with the creative uniforms, and then have the major league scouts able to watch them and see them, and then they sort of own the rights to them in that regard, which is another possibility that could change the structure and some of the risk.
Well, MLB has said themselves they're willing to help finance independent baseball in some of these places that isn't going to have it. So I think there's a willingness to create this unaffiliated structure that does try to develop the occasional diamonds in the rough. But let's not forget, you know, you look at the drafts over a period of time, you just pick random minor leagues and you look at how many guys out of this league actually turned into major leaguers. And beyond that, how many of them became more than, you know, negative war guys over 17 innings scattered over two seasons. The amount of talent that's going to be in these leagues is very small when you think about, becoming major leaguers. But if they can produce players for the affiliated minors, if they can generate actual interest, Dan, you and I aren't old enough to remember a time when minor league pennant races mattered. When you actually went to the ballpark in Keokie or DePaul to watch a team that represented your city trying to win the Great Plains League or whatever it is. I would love to see that come back in some of these places that are left out of affiliated ball.
I was the broadcaster sitting in Cedar Rapids when the Colonels beat the Rockford Royals, and I'll never forget how envious I was of Cedar Rapids broadcaster John Dasko, who now is, he's been out in California. I think he's a AAA Sacramento guy. He's done some major league games. When the players ran up to the booth after they won and poured champagne on his head while he was doing the post game show, it is the most envious I have ever been, just thinking how cool that moment had to be.
The Sox didn't do that to you in 05. They didn't come to the studio. The Cubs didn't do it in 16. I'm hurt, man.
Hey, when you're not, when you're part of the team, you're part of the team. And when, when you're involved in that regard, when you're that invested in it, believe me, that was a hell of a championship series with a bunch of future major league players involved as well. Joe, as we let you go, we know that this was the first card being turned over in this, and we know it's going to get ugly before anything would get done. What do you think is the next phase? Do you think that the players are simply going to just push it back across the table and say, no, do better, no counter, or are they in the position where they have to play a card of their own?
That would be my act would be, this is not a good faith offer, try again. One of the problems is that if you counter this offer, you're granting a premise that to me hasn't been proven, to take it back to the Ricketts quote at the top of the segment. I don't think MLB has proven financial distress yet. People say, oh, well, they're not going to have fans. There's a lot of money in Major League Baseball. And you also haven't proven to me that the players are responsible for your losses. A lot of the paper losses we're seeing is because teams are taking money out of baseball and putting it in to this cable network or this ballpark village or these ballpark renovations and trying to make money essentially divorced from baseball. So I think that if the players counter, they're granting a premise that is kind of a shaky premise. It's hard, though. It's hard to say we're going to blow this up, especially because you and I don't know, Dan. This is the friendliest conversation to the players you're going to find in American media. The vast majority of people go, greedy players playing a kid's game, millionaires versus billionaires, and they're not going to want to hear it. So the MLB players are under different rules, essentially, than the owners. I would not counter this, but I think they will.
That's Joe Sheehan, always a wise baseball voice. Joe, continued good health to you and your family.
Stay safe, Dan. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.